Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Friday, TGIF, June 21st, 2024. A great day to be a Wisconsinite. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Happy to have you along on your lunch hour from Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, from Green Bay to the Mississippi River, the Wisconsin River, and all points in between. Welcome into the final day of the week, Mr. Zommers. I, for one, am ready for the weekend.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
It's a great day today here in Madison, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. A little overcast, a little sultry, a little hot, but as it turns out, it is the first day, full day of summer, June 21st.
It is, yeah. Summer started yesterday, but it was in the middle of the day is when the equinox was or something like that.
Yeah, I can, thanks to our crack research staff that stays behind the scenes, I can tell you that summer solstice is the exact moment when the Earth's North Pole is most tilted toward the sun. And that officially happened at 3:51 p.m. yesterday, Central Time, according to the National Weather Service. It is, or was, the earliest start to the season in over two centuries. So you can be forgiven if you thought that the first full day of summer was today, as it normally has been for 200 years. And the reason that this happened yesterday rather than today, it's leap year.
Oh,
that darn leap year.
Yeah.
It moved everything forward a little bit. So traditionally, June 21st, the start of summer. So happy summer. It's already underway. June 21st also happens to be my mother's birthday.
Well,
so
happy birthday.
A big shout out to Miss Linda. We had a great time. A good time was had by all. Great time was had by all yesterday. My sister, my brother-in-law, and my favorite youngest niece, Isabel, traveled down to Richland Center. They picked up Mom. They came into Madison. And my mom has long been a person who enjoys architecture, enjoys homes and home building and just the whole thing. And she's been going to the Parade of Homes here in Madison since it began, I think, like in the late 60s. And only missed maybe one or two years in all that time. One of them, I think, was the COVID year, the pandemic year. Well, they didn't have it, of course. And so we went last night and went to the main, one of the locations was in Wanakee here, just north of Madison. And over the years, rather than having two or three sites where you have maybe 10 homes at a site, now many of them are spread out as individual homes, and it makes it a little bit more difficult to get to these. But what we heard was the crown jewel was a singular home up on Lake Wisconsin, just outside or in Merrimack. Of course, we have a Jack from Merrimack that calls in frequently. So up in Jack's neck of the woods up there in Merrimack. And we went to this home, and let me tell you, it was nothing short of spectacular. I mean, it was very modern, lots of steel, Florida window glass looking out onto the lake. And it was, but we all agreed it wasn't, you know, super, you know, ostentatious. It wasn't like a palace or anything. It was very livable, but it was just very, very well done, and had steel and glass, and it was great. So I think it runs through tomorrow or Sunday, and the Madison area Parade of Homes, you can buy tickets and then enjoy many of the sites all around the area. And I know many cities around Wisconsin do these Parade of Homes, and it's just a chance, even if you, like myself, our family, we couldn't, one of them actually was for sale yet, for $1.6 million.
Wow.
and if you closed during the Parade of Homes, you got $25,000 off.
Which is like nothing.
But what a deal, right? So, I mean, we're not buying these homes, but the cool thing is what you know, we like to get out of it is you look and see the little things that are being done, you know, on as far as interior design and decorating, and you're like, oh, well, I could do that with my bathroom, or I could paint my house that particular color that I saw inside on an actual wall. So, I mean, it's cool little things you can pick up for your own home. But anyway, so we went to the Parade of Homes, and then Mom said, you know, there was a place that I went to before the pandemic right here on the lake, and I'd like to go there for dinner. We said, fantastic. So we drove around, and the roads had changed a little bit, and so we found it. It's called Fitz's. I don't think Scott Fitzgerald's, but Fitz's on the lake. It's actually in Lodi, Wisconsin, or close to it, Lodi, between Lodi and Merrimack. And so we went to Fitz's on the lake last night, and we walked in at around, I think it was like 8:35, and they stopped serving at 9, and they were kind enough to seat us and keep the kitchen open, and we ordered a dinner, and the food was great, the service was great at Fitz's on the lake up there, and my brother-in-law decided to get it was like some sort of a seafood cake sandwich, and it included haddock and shrimp and crab and I'm not sure what else. And Mom got the fish dinner, and they were both lovely. And this big seafood sandwich that my brother-in-law got, it was huge. It was just lots of, you know, lettuce and mayonnaise, and it was just more than a handful. My mom didn't think it looked particularly good. And I guess Mom and I shared the thing that, like, we don't like our seafood mixed. I mean, if that makes sense, like the whole compilation of, I don't know.
Right. If you're eating shrimp, you want to have shrimp.
Right. Exactly. But Mike liked the seafood sandwich, this crab cake, haddock cake thing, whatever it was. And it looked very good. He enjoyed it. He'd eaten almost the entire thing. And at the end, Mom says, well, I've just got too much fish here. She says, do you want some of mine? Would you like some of mine? He goes, well, I don't know. I'm pretty full, but well, I'm not going to eat all this. Would you like some of mine? And finally, he just, I think to be polite, he said, sure, I'll take half of that piece of fish. Well, she cuts off just the little end that she'd been eating off and gives him essentially 3/4 of a piece of fish. And she flops it on his plate and she says, here, have this, because that doesn't look any good.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not sure if she said that doesn't look any good, but you know, she said, here, you know, eat this, because Mom thought that her haddock or cod, whatever it was, looked better than Mike's fillet of whatever it was, seafood compilation sandwich. And we all had a good laugh, and it was if you are a fan of the Carol Burnett Show, and they used to have a skit, and then it was made into a series called Mama's Family, it was a little bit like that. Where Mom was just like, well, I'm not sure why you're eating that, but here, have something good.
Right.
And the sandwich was fantastic. I mean, my brother-in-law ate the whole thing, and he said it was fantastic, but it wasn't Mom's cup of tea.
That's funny. That's
yeah,
funny.
It was pretty good. And of course, my niece got a big chuckle out of it as well. My niece saved half of her sandwich to take home because she's a big dessert girl. She likes, and so she got there was a molten lava cake with some ice cream. We were saying happy birthday to Mom. So it was, but I mean, that's what you want when family gets together and just have a lot of laughs and some great food and great service. And again, thanks to Fitz's on the lake up there, Lake Wisconsin. If you get a chance, stop by and have a meal, have a drink. They are fantastic folks, a fantastic atmosphere. So Fitz's on the lake is where we were last night.
Yeah. And you gotta love those random family moments where somebody just cracks you all up at a restaurant. I remember one time I was out to eat with my family and my uncle and his family and my grandma, and we were at an Applebee's, and the waiter comes over. My uncle's like, oh, yes, I would like the fajitas, like knowing that it's fajitas, but just said it. And my grandma cracked up for the next like 10 minutes.
So I mean, that's what it's all about, right? Hanging out with family and, just enjoying yourself. So happy birthday to Mom. She's
Jay in London watching on YouTube says happy birthday to Todd's mom.
There you go. You got a British happy birthday wish, Mom. So there you go. Coming up on the show today at 1:30 in the second hour, we have our ongoing contributor and friend Peter Rapine from EPOM's World with another humorous look at the week in review. Now, these are actual things that actual humans have done. They're not made up. It's not satire. It's not fiction, of course. It's real things that real humans have done. And it's always spectacular. So we'll look forward to Peter Rapine joining us coming up in hour two. Coming up next, we're going to be checking in with our friend and ongoing contributor to this program, Matt Flynn, who is an attorney and also spent two terms as the chairman of the State Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Matt is going to be in and talking about this Supreme Court decision that was handed down a couple hours ago in Washington, D.C., the federal Supreme Court. And the only person that dissented was, of course, Justice Thomas. And what this revolved around was this decision on guns, the Second Amendment, and whether or not people, domestic abusers, should be allowed to have firearms. All right. And what is their right to own a gun versus the public safety and individual safeties of those they have harmed or have been alleged to harm. And it's a pretty narrow ruling. But again, you know, any good news these days from the Supreme Court, we got to take, right? And so I think it is encouraging that on this narrow decision by the Supreme Court, they said, look, we're going to put the interests of the public and those being abused ahead of individual gun owner rights. So that was, you know, that was good news. But Matt Flynn is going to be here. He's going to help us to sort it all out and see what all this means. And we'll talk about that a little bit. Also, coming up on the show, going to talk a little bit about something we left off of yesterday. Will our next president be a competent decider in chief? So we're going to talk about that and take your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Also, Sherry in Horicon checking in on the Civic Media app listening on WAUK. Sherry says, good afternoon, Todd and Aaron. Love Matt Flynn. So there you go. The Matt Flynn fan club is in the house, and we'll be talking to Matt here just after the break. Also want to point out for those watching on the stream, remember to subscribe to us on YouTube and Twitter and Facebook, where you can watch the show as well as listen, both Civic Media and the Todd Allball Show. Have one of our shirts on today. It says beer and cheese and football and radio. Civic Media. I mean, right there. That's a great way to spend time, particularly in the fall. We're a little ahead of it. We're one season ahead, but that's what fashion is. I'm no fashionista, but in fashion, you're always a season ahead. So go to civicmedia.us, civicmedia.us, if you'd like to order one of these t-shirts or some of the other great swag from Civic Media. Come on back. We're going to talk to Matt Flynn and talk about the Supreme Court. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show for TGIF on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A young cowboy named Billy Joe grew restless on the farm. A boy filled with wanderlust who really meant no harm. He changed his clothes and shined his boots and combed his dark hair down. And his mother cried as he walked out, don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 20 past the hour of 12 noon. The perfect song, Mr. Sommers, to dial up to introduce this piece. Johnny Cash, when you hear that, you think of our friend and ongoing contributor, Matt Flynn. And that song says it all. If you are someone who has been found to pose a credible threat to public safety to another person, don't take your guns to town. He is a two-time chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, an attorney, and our friend. We appreciate him joining us via the telephone. Matt Flynn, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon, Todd. Good to be back with you and Mrs. Erskine. Good to be
back. It is always great. News broke a couple hours ago. The U.S. Supreme Court upheld that federal law that prohibits people who are subject to domestic violence restraining orders from having firearms, ruling that the measure does not violate the Second Amendment. The ruling was 8-1 that a person has been found by a court to pose a credible threat of physical safety of another may be temporarily disarmed, consistent with the Second Amendment. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote the majority opinion. Only Justice Clarence Thomas was the lone dissenter, though five of the justices issued what they called concerning opinions. Matt Flynn here to sort it out for us. We appreciate it. I keep saying this because I just love it. This former federal judge from Tennessee, Judge Weissman, who once said in the courtroom, put it down there where the chickens can get at it. You're still very good at this, Matt. to the common person, what does this ruling mean to Wisconsinites today?
Yeah, thanks, Todd. And let me, I have a slightly more jaundiced view of this.
Please.
What happened is you've described the decision correctly. But that said, remember something. This is the court that just a little while ago ruled that the bump stock prohibition was no good. Mm-hmm. Letting people, in the sense, with bump stocks, turn their semi-automatics into machine guns. They don't care. And then previously in New York, there was a case where they prohibited New York from enforcing very, very reasonable gun laws. Here's what's happening. This Supreme Court is essentially a super legislature. It does not have anything to do with being judges, and they're not elected. And Alito and Thomas are the vanguard of it, but, you know, Roberts is the same way, and Gorsuch and Kavanaugh and Comey. They're not stupid. They can't relentlessly down the line turn down any kind of gun control. So here's what they do. This one's a no-brainer. This character, the litigant, the guy that had been restrained, had fired his gun in the air outside a hamburger joint because his friend's credit card had been turned down. I'm not kidding.
Good Lord.
The guy didn't care about the law.
All right.
So, yeah, and so what they're afraid of is that some woman who has a restraint order is going to get gunned down and they'll look bad. So this is a no-brainer. But when it really counts, bump stocks, are you kidding me?
Right.
Turning these semi-automatics into machine guns, which have been outlawed since 1938, is really what's going on. They are crafty, they are sneaky, and they are illegal in their actions. They're not a court. They're a legislature that can't be thrown out in an election, and that is unconstitutional. So that's, to me, the effect of this. This was a no-brainer, which they did reluctantly.
See, this is exactly why I love having you on this show, Matt Flynn, because you can sort this stuff out and help us all understand it who are not attorneys. So if I'm reading you right, understanding that some Yahoo says the credit card didn't work at the hamburger stand, so I'm going to fire my gun off.
His friends.
And as you call them, the six tarantulas, except for Thomas on this one, said, well, I guess maybe that's just, I guess we can't let people do that. The folks in Wisconsin might think that's a bit crazy. So I suppose we got to say no to that. But which any normal thinking human would say, you can't have people doing that. And what you're saying, if I understand you correctly, is they're afraid that, and people in my family have gone through this, where you have a spouse, usually a male, who has some distinct right. mental health issues, and then, you know, right. they're allowed to have firearms, and they're going, and this happens across America all the time. Predominantly women are killed by male domestic abusers who use firearms right. against them. And so now, help us understand this, Matt, because my civilian understanding, non-attorney understanding is this does not apply to all cases of, like, you know, people that have mental health issues. It's a very narrow ruling where they have to prove in court that the individual poses a credible threat. And I suppose that's up to the judge to decide whether it's a credible threat to say that temporarily this individual can't have a gun.
Right. Well, I think if it's a restraining order, if it's a threat against a spouse or a child, this opens the door to state laws that would permit them to disarm him. If a judge were smart using this and they were a mentally ill person and he can craft it as a restraining order connection with domestic violence, and, you know, there's a lot of creativity there, they can try to ram that through. But let me be very blunt here. This Supreme Court isn't stupid. And they want to avoid the fate of the King of France and the mayor of Paris in 1792.
Right.
In other words, you couldn't take these guys out. They took them out.
Right.
They disappeared under the stomping boots of the rabble in the street. So how much can you get away with? That's all they care about.
Right.
So this one is a no-brainer. But you're right. Other mental health cases, and they'll say, what the hell? And then there was a guy that went from Waukesha to Darlington, hid in a house and stabbed strangers. He was mentally ill, and his father said, please, arrest this guy, take away his gun. They wouldn't do it. And
right.
He brought guns and knives. So, yeah, no. I think we have to look at this Supreme Court. It is an unlawful Supreme Court, and it's functioning as a legislature.
Matt, let me ask you quickly. Are you able to stay through the break on the other side for a little while?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Sure.
I have a few more questions here. We have one person off the line. Jeff in Shorewood says, great to have Matt back on. Todd, I didn't hear the exact ruling, but it sounds like it is limited to restraining orders. Please ask Matt if this addresses domestic violence cases in general. Matt?
Yes, it does. In other words, a restraining order for domestic violence or threats against a wife, a son, a daughter, an elderly parent, and so on. And yes, it does. But the problem is, how about bump stocks turned right. into machine guns? How about every other kind of law?
To be clear, if the victim does not request a restraining order, then that wouldn't apply. It doesn't. So in other words, if someone says this person has been beating me, but they don't seek a restraining order, then the accused gets to keep their guns.
Here's what I would do if I was a judge. There's a thing called the judge ruling sua sponte. That means of his own will. If I were a judge and that happened and there was a naive litigant, I would impose it sua sponte. Now, I don't know if the Supreme Court would uphold it, but most people nowadays, the judge will ask them, do you want a restraining order? And unless they're obtuse, they're going to say yes.
Okay, that's very good information, and that helps us out a lot. Matt Flynn's going to stay through. If you have a call or if you have a question for Matt on this, give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Back with more with Matt Flynn. Todd Alble, Aaron Zomers is here in for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Alble Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is a Friday, June 21st, 2024. Happy Friday. Happy birthday to Mom as she celebrates there up at the old RC. Mr. Zomer is on the board at 1234. Our friend and ongoing contributor to this program, Matt Flynn, two-time Democratic Party Chairman of Wisconsin, also an attorney. He, to put it in radio terms, he's seen some stuff. Been in a lot of courtrooms, from circuit courts to federal courts and everything in between. Matt, always a pleasure to have you on this program. You're always welcome. We appreciate your insight. Talking about this Supreme Court ruling that came down a little bit earlier today, a couple of hours ago, in which the Supreme Court, on an 8-1 decision with only Clarence Thomas dissenting, upheld a federal law that prohibits people who are subject to domestic violence restraining orders from having a firearm. A ruling that the measure does not violate the Second Amendment. Matt, I want to pick up on what you threw out here in the last segment, which is the politics of this. And you're suggesting, and I don't disagree with you, by the way, but I want you to flesh this out a little bit more for listeners as to, and correct me if I'm wrong, has the Supreme Court always been this taking political decisions into their consideration in these decisions? Or is this something new where now this Supreme Court says, well, you know, we let these bump stocks continue on, which kill, hundreds, if not thousands of people in America every year. So I guess we'll give them a gimme on the other side on this one.
Right. Yeah, in the 1850s and the 1930s, in the 1850s, before Lincoln was elected, the Supreme Court essentially ruled that upheld the Fugitive Slave Act and ruled that a black man and woman couldn't be citizens, couldn't be treated as human beings. And in the 1930s, the old Republican Supreme Court, which Roosevelt didn't have time to replace, ruled that much of the New Deal was unconstitutional, and they just pulled it out of thin air. they were about to rule Social Security was unconstitutional until Roosevelt straightened them by saying he was going to pack the court. And so then one of them flipped and 5-4. It was 5-4 that said Social Security was constitutional. So we've had bad actors throughout our history. But right now, this is a really bad actor because they're going, okay, we'll screw you on bump stocks, but we'll throw you, you know, we don't want some, well, we don't care if some woman is shot, but it'll make us look bad. That's really what's going on here.
Right. So your feeling is this is more of a political decision than a straight line legal decision.
Yeah, I do not believe that Gorsuch and Alito care and didn't want to go the other way. And there were a lot of concurring opinions. But I think politically, you know, look, at what point you can't impeach these guys because there's a crooked Republican Senate that won't give the votes. You can't, if we had a competent attorney general, which we don't, Merrick Garland is weak as hell, you would indict, for flat out indict Clarence Thomas. You can do that for bribery. You won't do it. So how do you get these guys out in a lawful way, not like the French Revolution type way? And the, you know, and they, but they know at some point people are not going to put up with this, so they throw you a bone every once in a while.
Right. President Biden, according to CBS News, cheered the decision, and as well as gun violence prevention groups, which said the majority of the court has recognized that the common sense gun laws are allowed under the Second Amendment. I guess in today's political atmosphere, Matt, you can speak for yourself. For me, I guess like I have to celebrate at least a win here and there to, because I think it's important. I think a lot of people that I talk, I'm serious, because I think a lot of people I talk to, I mean, I've heard this, Matt, I know you've probably heard this as well, where people say, I don't listen to the news anymore. I don't turn it on because it's always bad news. And at least here, Matt Flynn, we have a shoot of hope on one day at one moment, the Supreme Court did the right thing.
Well, the Supreme Court threw a bone to save their skins is what they did. And I don't blame Biden. Look, Biden's running for re-election.
Right.
So Biden has to go, oh, this is great. What the hell is he going to say? These people should be dragged into the street. You know, we have a crooked sort. I mean, of course he knows that.
Clarence Thomas,
how many millions is the guy taking?
Right.
He's on the take.
Yeah.
He should sit with a bowl right outside the Republican convention and go, we'll issue decisions for money. I mean, you know, give me a break. So if I'm Biden, he's doing the right thing. He has to, you know, say, God, this tastes good.
See, this is what I'm looking for. This is what we need. More of this from Matt Flynn's takes. This is fantastic. Wisco Paul, one of your longtime fans, Matt Flynn. Wisco Paul called in with a question. He says, please ask Matt, how does Matt think that this is great, that the Trump immunity case is going to play out? Because the Supreme Court getting down to the end of this term, and we're all still waiting with bated breath how this case is going to turn out on immunity, Matt. What does your crystal ball say?
Yeah, well, I don't think it takes much for Chris of all. And Wisco Paul, good to hear from you again. Here's the deal. They've already done their dirty work. They already sank the knife into America's back. I mean, the point is, yeah, they're going to say there's not complete immunity, but they're going to go mumble, 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 and it has to go back, and she has to take this into account. That's all appealable to the D.C. Circuit and then ultimately to the Supreme Court by writ of certiorari. And this is going to take into next spring. What they did and what the she-wolf down in Mar-a-Lago did, Eileen Mercedes Cannon has done, is delay it beyond November. That's what, all they wanted to do. Listen, with the precedent of Nixon and Clinton, they can't possibly say that, oh, well, you know, Nixon resigned because he didn't want to get indicted.
Right.
And these are crimes that occurred while he was president.
Yeah.
And the same with Trump did this on January 6th. He was still president. So, no, they can't come out and say that, but they can go, oh, mumble, mumble, mumble. It depends on the rule in Slade's case and In re Sleeper's appeal. And so why don't you go back and read those cases, which have nothing to do with this, and issue me a decision around Christmas. That's so, what they've done. They've done their dirty work.
So you think, to put it as succinctly, my interpretation of what you just said was that they're just going to delay. They're not going to give Trump blanket immunity, but they'll delay the whole thing, which will delay it past the election.
They'll cloud it up with some crazy stuff where she has to make factual findings, which she will make. Trump will then appeal it to the Court of Appeals. Then, it, God forbid, if this guy wins in January,
right,
he'll say the new Attorney General dismiss all this stuff. That's going on here. The crooked Supreme Court.
That's a very important point. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. President of the Northern Wisconsin Matt Flynn Fan Club, Gene from Eau Claire, is on the line. Gene, what say you?
I say, yay, Matt. Bring it on. I'll tell you, the bump stock issue, you can throw us a little cheeky bone that's already broken in half with the other ruling, but that bump stock one, that's frightening. I feel the same way you do, and I feel they're never going to gain my respect. I hope they pack that court big. Thanks, Matt, and thank you so much, Todd, for having him on. Bye-bye.
Our pleasure. Matt?
Gene, good to hear from you again. Yeah, Gene, good to hear from Gene and Wisco Paul and so many others.
Absolutely. Here's one, another person, Matt, listening on WMDX in Madison. This is, he calls himself a Daddy-O from Windsor. Says, I too count myself a member of the Matt Flynn Fan Club. Great to hear him again. Please ask him his thoughts on the debate next week. Yes, we have a presidential debate, the earliest one that I can remember, Matt. You've been at this a little longer than I have, but we have a debate between Biden and Trump in Atlanta on CNN next week. Civic Media will cover that. What are your thoughts, Matt Flynn?
Yeah, you know, I think this is the first debate ever before the conventions. In other words, Trump hasn't been nominated yet, and yet he's debating him. I think that it's smart what Biden did. There are a lot of people who said to me, Matt, come on, Biden shouldn't, you know, debate him, but, you know, then he'll get that rammed down his throat. Biden is tough. You saw Biden in the 2020 debates, and he handcuffed Trump. Trump's going to get up there. Some billionaire just dumped, what, $100 million into Trump's account?
Mm-hmm.
And so because of Citizens United, 5-4, with Clarence Thomas bribed as the swing vote. But anyway, put all that aside. So Biden is going to get up there, and Biden's tough. Look, I mean, the fact is, there's full employment, best since the 1960s. Stock market's going for the roof. Wages are going up. They're exceeding inflation. And he's keeping a lid on things in the Middle East and Ukraine and everywhere else. This other clown, Trump, gets in. He's basically Putin's mistress. I mean, he'll do whatever Putin wants. He's afraid of Putin. He'll sacrifice Ukraine. He is not going to stand by Israel, and he's not going to stand by Taiwan. He already said in Taiwan, well, you know, they've got to start to rethink things. And with Israel, he said, well, you know, they've got to do this and do that early, when poor Israel is subject to genocide themselves from the Islamic Jihad.
Yeah.
So we need a tough, good foreign policy guy. We have it in Biden, and somebody's good and tough on the economy. He's going to do great.
What do you think? We're talking to Matt Flynn, ongoing contributor to this program, two-term chairman of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin and an attorney. Matt, what are your thoughts? I mean, I like the fact that CNN has made this. There's going to be no studio audience. And also, they're not going to be allowed to take any pre-written notes or notebooks onto the podiums with them. It's just Trump versus Biden with a pen, a notepad, and a glass of water. I mean, you can't strip it down much more than that, right?
Look, but you have to because of Trump. And they're also going to cut their mics off when they're not talking.
Yes.
Because Trump will override it and shout. The other thing is, with poor Hillary, he put in a number of women that Bill Clinton had allegedly been involved with in the front row,
right,
which they never should have permitted to humiliate her. Now, Biden could do that now with Stormy Daniels and,
right.
and probably half the Chorus Line in Las Vegas, and maybe some sundry oddballs, you know, some prostitutes from Russia, you know. I mean, he could do that, but Biden's not that kind of guy.
Right,
he's our
right.
guy. And so Trump's not going to be able to put Hunter Biden's accusers and all that in there. And it's going to be bare bones. And he's not going to be permitted to have data in front of him go, oh, well, this, that, and the other thing.
All right.
And Trump is a BSer. He's
100%.
A clear BSer. And he's a fraud. He's a fraud.
Linda from Madison, or pardon me, Linda from Middleton, listening on WMDX, says, fantastic to hear Matt Flynn. Please keep having him on. Another great fan of yours, Matt. And also, Mark from Prayer to Sack is on the phone. Mark, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Yeah, I'd like Matt's opinion on the new the latest revelation of Brad Schimmel, which didn't surprise me at all, where he tried to get out of a traffic ticket by dropping names, and he got a he got a favor out of the whole thing anyway. That the officer, I don't think.
Right.
Once a good old Brad Schimmel dropped the thing. Well, I'm this. She should have just said, I'm not going to cut this guy any breaks at all. But I mean, it's just
right.
Because I've hated Brad Schimmel ever since he gave Jensen a break. So
right. We're up against the clock here, Mark. So I'm going to give Matt a chance to reflect here. Matt, go ahead.
No, Mark, good to hear from you. Yeah. Yeah. And what Schimmel did was he's picked up for a traffic violation. He goes, I'm a judge. You know, he was clearly trying to influence the guy. Susan Crawford is running against him and looks like she's going to be our candidate. So I would strongly urge everybody out there to vote for Susan Crawford. Just keep repeating that name. We can't have Brad Schimmel in there. We can't have another Republican Supreme Court. We need 4-3 for fairness and to preserve our democracy.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we even had some of our more conservative callers call in yesterday and said they agreed. They agreed that this is just, you don't have a judge name drop like that. When the officer pulled him over said, you know, do I need to know anything like outstanding warrants, anything else? And Schimmel said no. And then he adds, well, I'm a judge in Waukesha. I mean, if that's not asking for a favor, I don't know what is, Matt.
Yeah, right. I'm not threatening you.
Right.
Nobody here but us chickens, boss. I'm not threatening you. Give me a break.
Right?
Poor guy with a wife and two kids. He wants his job.
Yeah, exactly. Matt Flynn, I cannot tell you how great it is to hear your voice again. We're going to get down to Milwaukee, going to do a show down there together soon. We appreciate you being on with us on short notice. Your perspective, your knowledge is always so much appreciated by me and obviously our listeners as well. Have a great rest of your day, Matt, and thank you so much for joining us.
And same to you and Mr. Zammers. You have a great show.
All right. Thank you very much. Matt Flynn, our ongoing contributor. There's a guy who can tell it like it is and have it all make sense. Back with more after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Tylo Ball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tylo Ball Show on Civic Media. It is 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock on Friday, June 21st. There you go. I mean, what a way to end the week with a half an hour of Matt Flynn. I mean, you can't do better than that.
You can't beat it with a stick.
You can't beat it with a stick. Exactly right. I mean, what I love about Matt is, A, he's just a fascinating and wonderful person, but I love the fact that he's very, very intelligent. He knows this stuff. He's lived it. But he can make common people like me understand what's going on. He can put it down there, as we say, where the chickens can get at it. And that's what I find so beneficial.
And it's also funny. That helps, too.
He doesn't take himself too seriously. He has a sense of humor about it all. Which I absolutely love as well. Thank you for all the comments. We appreciate all the comments on the text line and calling in. We will have Matt Flynn back soon. Our next piece here is important, and it relates to a news item we talked about yesterday just before the program ended. Speaking of yesterday, just before the show ended, a caller generated several listener texts and phone calls, and that's great. A couple of texters disliked the caller's views so much that they thought I should, you know, use the cutoff button or whatever. Well, I just want to say, you know, that's not me. I welcome all callers, even those with opposing views. Democracy is staring down a gun barrel. And the answers are not easy. Now, my gut tells me that the answer is to listen more, not less. And don't just hang up on people because they don't think the same way as you. You know, we live amongst a lot of misinformation and disinformation, fears, animus, distrust. But I believe in my gut that we cannot quit on people, particularly our own people, Wisconsinites. So we're going to have to extend kindness and compassion if we're going to work our way out of this. So on to the important piece. For the next 5 months until the November election, we're going to experience an escalating barrage of audio and video clips trying to tell us that one presidential candidate is more senile than the other. So who is behind it? It's more than Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran. It's also political party strategists. Why? Because negative campaigning works. Get lots of people discouraged enough not to vote. Then focus on turning out your base voters. Sadly, it's a formula that works. Now back to the presidential candidates and their verbal gaffes and flubs. Now, does mixing up names or having a memory lapse tell us if they're competent decision makers? Well, it turns out that these sound bites and video clips don't tell us about the mental capacity required for a complex leadership job, according to Leo Guattari, a cognitive psychologist at Clemson University. Some of our divisions are intuitive. Our experience and memory inform us of what has worked before and what will likely work again. But there is a deliberate decision-making. We must understand multiple factors, negotiate with competing points of view, consider several solutions, and forecast their consequences. It's complex, I get it, and it's what competent presidents do every day. Guattari says good decision-making requires three types of thinking, no matter what our age. Early social learning and education influence whether these skills become habits. And that's the key. Are they habits? One is being open-minded. Guattari says if a person is disposed to being open-minded, that doesn't decline and may actually even increase with age. Number two is having the habit of weighing all evidence, both pro and con, and then setting your confidence level based on what the evidence tells you. You seem to be certain of being right is to be overtly confident and not deliberative. Third is teamwork. For a president, that would mean not surrounding yourself with people telling you what you want to hear. It means really listening to people who tell you what you don't want to hear because they may be right. Guattari writes that effective decisions rely on extensive job-related knowledge, especially the deliberative decision-making. Having a momentary memory lapse or mixing up a name is distinctly different from knowing many concepts learned from on-the-job experience. According to Guattari, when people keep using their on-the-job knowledge, those skills do not decrease with age, lasting at least well to the age of 90. If you want to consider what a cognitive psychologist like Leo Guattari of Clemson says about the value of the on-job experience, you may want to consider each candidate's years of elective office experience. Mr. Trump has 4. Mr. Biden has 44. If you want to consider what an expert like Guattari says about the importance of making big decisions after listening to evidence, both pro and con, you can consider that Mr. Trump was well known for basing decisions primarily on polling results or siding with the views of the person he talked to last. Mr. Trump has been quite clear that if reelected, he will surround himself exclusively with loyalists. Mr. Trump boasted his common sense decisions were better than the decisions of any generals in the military, despite their many years of military experience. We can rise above the media's focus on verbal gaffes and flubs. We can instead focus on what candidate has proved to us about their ability and capacity to make the big, complex decisions. You know, the decisions that really matter for the long term. Our family, our nation, and the planet. Big choices to make coming up in November. Who are going to elect? Their competency, their experience, their habits, how they treat the others around them, their family, their coworkers. Think about it, both Republican and Democrats. Over the years, the best presidents from both parties have been those that welcomed others who didn't agree with them. Abraham Lincoln. Doris Kearns Goodwin literally wrote a book that Lincoln surrounded himself with people who didn't agree with him. And it made him a stronger president because of it. So as we go to the poll in November, as we listen to these debates, this debate coming up next week, ask ourselves, who's more Lincoln-esque? Who's willing to be more humble and take into consideration the thoughts of others? Coming back with hour two, don't go anywhere, Peter Rapine at 1:30 with a more humorous look at the week in review. Also, Mr. Zommers has a board game of the week, all that and more in hour two. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.